So, hey, everyone. It's me, Hillary, and I'm here with Lawson, with the hockey guys. But I think that what I really wanted to talk to you about, Lawson, is a lot of times when you're in a group of people, whether that's like a boy band or you have a group of athletes that you're together with or you're on a team with people, a lot of times your identity gets lumped into that group with all of those guys or all of those girls or that friend group, even in high school to college to what it is. So what I wanted to bring you on is that I think I've said this to you before, but there can only be one Beyonce, and there can only be one JT of NSYNC. And I think that as like an entrepreneur and somebody myself who's worked with a lot of really driven people, it's like you can see when somebody has it. And I've talked with Josh about that before, but it's like you just know when you see somebody and you're like, they have it. And what I want to ask you is, starting like in high school all the way up until college, tell me a little bit about like what you were like and where what you're like now. So talk to me a little bit about like what your demeanor was like, what you were like in high school.
Yeah, that's a good question. And I guess I do kind of play both cards too, like not only the friend group side, because obviously what I'm doing now, but was definitely an athlete for like 20 some years. When I think back to high school, kind of who I was I guess like a work ethic thing always was something that people told me when there was like, you know, they don't do parent teacher all the time there, but it's like when feedback came back, just like being a hard worker, and I guess like motivated to do whatever I kind of had my mindset on doing, whether that was like playing high school sports when I played a lot of badminton, did things like baseball. I just really cared, I guess, about being the best I could at those things. So I spent a lot of time focusing on what I wanted to be good at. For my personality, I think quiet and shy, not too bubbly, but I think with hockey as well, because that was the sport that I really took serious at that time. And it was just a ton of dedication, because I cared about being good at something. If I was going to spend time to do it, I wanted to be good at it. Yeah. It bugged me if I would do something and I couldn't get it. I would just be like, I'm going to try this over and over again to get good at it.
I think that what you said is something that people like you have, and it's frustrating for maybe even you, or there's times that I get frustrated when people lack internal motivation. It's like those types of people like you, you just said it, like you had internal motivation to be the best at things. Do you think that there are factors or things that you had growing up or values that your parents instilled in you to have that motivation, or do you think that people are just born with it?
I think a bit of both, and I haven't even thought about that question really, but for me, I think it is a bit being born with it, but I do think it has to do as well with what your parents get you to do when you're younger. I did piano lessons, guitar lessons. I played every single sport possible growing up. So it was a very small community that just every kid did everything. Not to say that I guess all kids turned out to be as motivated like later on in life, but I think for me that had something to do with the way I act now. I think looking back to the guitar lesson thing was that I sucked at a lot of times when you would play a new song and you just weren't good at it. But what I noticed and I learned from it was that every time you take like time and time to like replay it and relearn it, I would get it. Like eventually, no matter how hard the song felt like at the beginning, I knew that if it was just time and practice and repetition, that I would eventually play it. And it was kind of fun to learn that in those years. And I think now looking back, it's kind of the same mindset with whether it's public speaking, a skill in business, or playing hockey, whatever that may be, if I see that other people can do it and I'm not there yet, I just know it's a matter of practice and repetition before I get good at it, because I was proven that through just life lessons when I was a kid.
That's so interesting to hear you talk about that you were fine with practicing things, because like even working like with my four-year-old on stuff, he gets so frustrated and he just wants to give up because he's not the best at it. Would you say that you were the best at a lot of sports or a lot of things growing up, or did you have people who had raw talent that were better than you? You know what I mean? Do you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like where, talk to me about like where you were at with your abilities.
Yeah, I think depending on the sport, there's times where like the raw talent I saw kids have that weren't putting in as much work in me, and that's why I think I could get up to par with them. Especially hockey, I think that there's a lot of kids in my bubble growing up where they probably were more skilled at me, but I did put more time into things off the ice to get better. And I think that's really, for me, why I ended up playing as long as I did and got further than, I guess, a lot of other kids from my hometown, was that I committed a lot of time to practice and work on skills. In general, I guess I always had some just overall athletic ability. I wasn't a kid that could just skate but not run. I think that just went to the fact I did everything growing up. Yeah. So when I play a sport now, it's just there's so much correlation to all these sports back and forth that it has a kind of an overview of, you're developing skills for everything when you do that. And mm-hmm. I think that's why maybe now it just feels like I can pick up a sport and be half decent at it.
I want to like transition to talk a little bit about what you just said, like you can watch a sport and pick it up, or it just has like this, basically what I talk about in marketing, like an omnipresence, or I'm able to watch a realtor's TikTok and be able to think to myself, oh, how can I mm-hmm. implement that and talk about marketing or my niche? So just to like humble brag on you a little bit, like you guys together have had the hockey guys reach like 1.4 million on TikTok. Your Instagram has almost 160,000. And you guys like didn't go to school of that. You went to school of being locked in COVID and figuring out social media. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering, what would you say to anybody that's like, hey, I want to be like you, Lawson? Like, what is like the thing, like the it factor or the thing that you would tell any person who is in college that wants to get on social media and have the, I guess, clout or success that you have? What would you be some first steps that you would have them do?
I think a big thing was just, like you said, relating to the omnipresence thing, is that you have to have that mindset of, if you want to do something like build a brand yourself or in whatever niche, again, if someone else has done it in a different space, you have to be able to think, how can this apply to what I'm doing? Like if I was a cook or wanting to build something there, I would instantly, the first thing I would do would just be watch other cooks, chefs, or just find other content that really inspired and motivated me, mm-hmm. and just think about, how can I make that but with what I'm doing? So I think a lot of that came from like the hockey guys, and when I was trying to be creative and post videos, a lot of it came from, I was just so motivated by other people doing it and just had to think of, how can we apply this to the group that I have, kind of even the skill set and the situation, and just be very thoughtful with that process. It takes trial and error, a ton of it. Mm-hmm. So that relies on just your work ethic and motivation not to get discouraged and know that it'll eventually work for you. And the more times you fail, you're actually just going to be getting better at it. So I think a lot of people quit right away. Mm-hmm. They'll see one thing not work and they'll just give up. Mm-hmm. It's definitely, yeah, you need that combination of being able to think for new solutions with your content and, okay, well, this version of my video didn't work. Doesn't mean that that was a bad idea. It might just mean that it needs some tweaking or a different test.
It's trial and error. I love that. So good, because I feel like when I run like these like I have run these like mini TikTok challenges, and what I have them do is create 5 to 7 videos a day and just put it out there. By the end of the challenge, they've created, you know, like 150, 200 videos. Now, there's other people out there that'll create 200 videos over a year's time, and they might have the same success that people in my challenge do for those 30 days. The people in the 30 days, though, are just getting to the better result and the better product faster. It's just like people when they're dieting. It's like, hey, there's two people that want to lose 30 pounds. Somebody is focusing on what they're eating and working out every single day. And then there's somebody who is focusing on what they're eating and working out maybe 2 times a week. They're both could probably end up losing 30 pounds. Somebody's just going to get there faster than the other one. I want you to talk me through when you first started posting, like the first post that you did, like what got you to just like jump off the bridge and like just do it? Like what was that like?
For me, it went back to my first post that I did was in 2019, I think. And it wasn't a TikTok post, it was a YouTube post. And the reason I made that video was actually came from kind of a shift in my life where I played Division I hockey and then I got cut from that team.
Where was it?
It was in Nebraska, Omaha.
Okay.
So yeah, I was there for 2 years. To me, I enjoyed it a lot. And my mindset was on that sport. Didn't really have much content creation creeping into my head, but when I got cut and then I went to Wisconsin Superior, I felt like I was like a needle in a haystack in terms of my story. Now I can play both sides of I was a D1 athlete, I was a D3 athlete. Nobody else can talk about that besides me, like maybe one in like thousands of people.
Yeah.
Plus, in this world of hockey, no one creates content. So I was... I felt confident that no one could look at me and be like, hey, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about, or because I was just so unique. And that's kind of what pushed me to be like, I can make content now and I can be my own thought and ideas that no one can speak to because I had such a unique experience. And as someone maybe like not as confident with sharing out there, I think the best thing that you can do if you're like that is tell what you know and only you know, because who can say that you're a liar, that that information is wrong if you speak from your own experiences? And that's really what did it for me. It was just getting comfortable with that, which just turned the ball over, being more and more comfortable with. It took more time for me to get there, but
I think that you just explained a lot of what I work on with my clients or people that have a call with me that want to work with me. And they say, I know, Hillary, that you tell me that I need to tell stories in my marketing, but I'm nobody special. And I don't have a story to tell and I'm boring. But you just told me that you found your like unique sauce, like your unique extra thing. I played D1 hockey and I played D3 hockey. I'm going to create content. Now, to somebody else who also had that same story, they probably would think that's no big deal, nothing special. So what would you say to somebody like you or just anybody out there that is thinking, I want to create content, but I'm nobody special and I don't have a story to tell?
I think this happens a lot to me too, where repeatedly doing like day in the life videos and even getting the guys to share these things. And the thing that I heard that really like helped me is that there's so many different like water bottle companies out there, and it's like water is water, yet they take it and they make it new and unique, but like you just think, oh, it's another one, right? But the fact that they can pull off like a water and make that new and unique and create something out of nothing there means that you can take whatever you're doing with your life and share it, and because it's your life and nobody else's, people look at that and find that unique. Because I might not find what I do interesting because I've lived it. And a lot of people don't realize that the person in Kansas or California that don't live in the winter find you just waking up and making a fire interesting because they just don't live that life.
That's so true.
So that's one thing. I see that in other people with the way I react to others' content, is that it's just because I'm not living it, I want to see what they're doing. And a lot of people just have to flip that and understand that. If you're a marketer, if you're a like producer, if you're an editor, whatever that is, there's thousands of other people that don't live it or understand it. And you making toast with a toaster could be cool because of that reason.
Yeah, that's just like so true. I'm like thinking about all the accounts that I follow that they live in different areas of the United States. I'm like, oh my God, that's so true. I love watching her make breakfast in Hawaii because I live in Minnesota. Yeah, that's so true. I want you to talk to me a little bit, Lawson, about, you know, okay, so I feel like hockey players have this connotation that you guys are kind of just douchebags and just play a bunch of chicks and have hoes all over the place. Talk to me a little bit about your girl relationships in college and where you're at now.
Yeah, I mean, that's nothing new about hearing that stigma of around hockey. It's, I think that
dating football players, they fucking hated the hockey players.
Really?
They were like, fuck those hockey players.
And I'm kind of shadowed from a lot of other sports cultures, so I don't know if other people think that way.
I feel like you need to get football players on your podcast. Like, you guys need to
We would love that. It's definitely not true for everybody. There's obviously a lot of, like, I would take me as an example of someone that just grew up in a way different family, small town, Christian background growing up. And to me, that it was a change when I started going into sports and hockey and kind of went to higher and higher levels. As you keep on kind of getting further away from that hometown culture. So I think for me that helped just where I came from. It was not that type of people that I was used to. So when I went to play hockey at different spots, I'd like to say that I kept a lot of those values and stuck to that and didn't broke the stereotype of what you just said about being a hockey player.
Yeah.
So I've had a...
And you had other friends around you that weren't all that your the way that I... told you that it's perceived.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. A lot of, there's great, great guys and friends that I've made through that. And I think that for me, well, going back to the relationship side and the girls side, I've had a, my girlfriend was with me since high school, all through college years. And so that, and now
but
we're
engaged.
But
she's not your girlfriend anymore.
No, like, she's my fiance.
Okay, fine.
And it's not, it's not a typical thing that I've seen that guys have gone through all those years with a girlfriend. So I've been, I had teammates that got married in college as well while they played college hockey. There's a couple guys that did that. So there's always like those exceptions between that stereotype. And I get where it comes from, but at the same time, I think that there's, it's too overused because it's just, especially with like the guys that we have in our group here and with our account, I just laugh when we get comments that, oh, they're red flag, they're hockey players. Oh, and it makes me laugh because there's also ones that we bring in that are like, these are the guys that I'd like to like, I trust to hang out with. And I'm like, yes, like that's the vibe that we want to bring to people because typically hockey players won't be on TikTok making videos either. Yeah. And the fact that we do that, I think, shows that the culture back to hockey and those people that, oh, these, like, this is actually what some hockey players are like, too. Like, they're just having fun. They're not taking it too seriously, not trying to be too cool to do things like that. So it makes me feel good when we can break that.
But let's, like, talk about that for a second, like, not taking it too seriously. Like, I'm here right now at the Hockey Guys HQ, like, recording. I'm working with you're helping with my podcast. Like, it's not just some little side chick that is just like a little bit, you're just trying it out. Like, you guys have a booming business, and I think that that's something to not just like skim over. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think with taking it too seriously, I meant their selves or like their egos or their reputation too seriously.
Unapproachable. Where, like, you guys are approachable, being like, and inviting.
Yeah, being like, hey, we can make a video, whatever, that makes us typically maybe look not cool or funny, and look at it and be like, ah, that was just fun to make, or kind of thing like that, or like, hey, we just enjoyed making that.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it. Like, stop looking at it as in like that one video is just exactly who we are because we did it. Like, what if we just wanted to have fun and make it and worry about tomorrow kind of thing?
I feel like that's a lot of content creation that gets missed, because now you guys went from making content for fun, and even on your own page, Lawson, like people can find your own page on Instagram, and do you have your own TikTok too?
Yeah.
Yeah. They can find you, and I'll link it in the show notes, that's fine, but they can find you, and you're making content to serve and entertain and engage, but now you have this like thing now with the hockey guys is you're making content to serve, engage, and entertain, but also you're making money off of it. So how are you helping transition the that's what we got the brand deals for into now we're making money? Is there a difference in the content you're making? Like, is it any different? Or like, talk to me about that.
Are you asking what the difference would be through a video that is branded, or are you is that okay? I just want to make sure I answer it right. So my kind of theory with it, idea behind doing branded content, is that it kind of like there's a lot of steps to it, because first of all, it has to be a brand that works in general with like the group and your account. And if that checks the box in terms of, hey, is it a vacuum that we're promoting, or is it a some kind of product that's so hard to integrate? If it if that's not the case, then it's gonna your next step of actually making the video is gonna be super hard. So if it's something really organic, like something that we can use easily in a day in the life vlog or whatever it may be, then that first has to check the box. When we get there, then I just try to think of how do we not change anything that we're posting? How can we still do the same formats and styles of video so that when we do have to use this brand in it, it can just be really naturally done. I would say my some of my favorite ones and ways that we did this was one of our first brand deals we ever did, and maybe this is kind of what unlocked that thought for me, was that we did worked with Parathief. So this is a clothing brand, and honestly, I like kind of like it's a little bit of a challenge, because every time you get this new brand, and it's almost like, all right, how creative can we get to incorporate this in? And it's just like a little challenge, especially for me as being more of a creative person. So a Pair of Thieves, which is a clothing brand, they asked us to make a video, and we came up with a concept that we were going to do who's the fastest roller skater. So immediately you think, well, that's not a ad, but it is still, and it's kind of, and it's what these brands want, is something organically done. So we did it, and obviously we were wearing Pair of Thieves when we made the video. So we just timed each other, like did a little competition
that
between the friends.
That is literally so fun.
Yeah, it was fun. We and it got, I think, 100,000 likes as well. So
Oh my gosh, wow.
So we raced, and we did post-race interviews with each guy. Like, so they go and get 4 seconds, and then either be mad or they'd be happy. And
so
and then in the post-race interview is when we just said thanks to like Pair of Thieves, like for this like outfit, in a jokingly sarcastic like post-game interview way. Just like, couldn't have done it without these Pair of Thieves socks and my shorts.
Good.
Like,
yeah.
He won, or and then other guy would go and kind of do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like, well, I wasn't fast, but at least I had this Pair of Thieves like shirt to look good in, whatever.
Yeah.
And made it so that the point of the video was to watch it all the way through, because you wanted to see who won or who was the fastest.
So good. That's right? So good. Yeah.
And that's always the trick, is to find the way where the point of the video is still to complete or watch it all the way through for a different reason besides hearing about the brand. And yeah, you may think that too, the brand's not getting the recognition or it's not the same thing, but that video is allowed to get 100,000 likes because people want to see it for a different reason. If it wouldn't, it would probably get like 5,000 likes, or it wouldn't, no one would want to watch it. So what is more important at the end of the day?
I want to ask you a question that I'm thinking, that probably everybody else is thinking that will listen to this, is how many followers did you have at the time of that very first brand deal? and how much money did you make?
That's a good question. And I think I'm pretty sure I could talk about it now. I think you always have to.
We can cut it out of again.
Yeah. No, I think it would be fine. We had 500,000 on TikTok, or 400,000.
Yeah.
Also, I just want to say the reason too is because we were college athletes that had the rule that we couldn't do a brand deal. Mm. So we did get approached before, but we had to say no to everything because of NIL, which is a rule that was recently passed in college sports that they were allowed to make do a deal like this and make money.
Yeah,
totally. We were cautious about it, so we just said no to everything, and then it did get passed that year. And that's why that was the first one we took at that point. I believe the deal was a TikTok video, and I think we did an Instagram carousel, maybe a story, but it was those two posts. I think it was 3,000, which we were pumped about.
Wow, that's so awesome. I feel like I have clients or people that contact me, and I have a client right now, she does UGC content, but it's so interesting to hear where people start and like what could be possible. I think that sometimes that feels too far off, but it's not. And I think that's a true testament to consistency and also your creative genius. Like, even just the way you were explaining, like, oh, we want people to watch it all the way through so they see who wins the race. But then when they watch it all the way through to see who wins the race, then we talk about the brand. Like, it was like, that is so good. That's so good. And I feel like it takes a certain type of brain to be able to do that. And I want to transition to talk a little bit about you then, Lawson, in your part, and then what you want for your own personal business now that, you know, you guys aren't playing hockey anymore. You have your own business, but also you are your own entity from there. So like, where do you want that track to go? That's awesome.
I think for me, I would love to have my own thing be something where I can help people in this creator economy world, because I do really enjoy it. I think I'm learning so much from my own business and my experiences that I'm getting this like hands-on daily training of what I want to help people with too. So it's not just like I'm sitting back and telling someone to do something that I haven't done. I'm currently also like living that too with them. So I think that's a cool perspective and approach that I have to it. But I just went through so much struggle back then a few years ago that where I think I can help people as well not go through the same thing with making a brand and creating content and doing ads and understanding that process and sharing the techniques and tricks that I've learned to do that's worked. Because, I think a big thing is that in my whole span, my whole span was that it was just learning and trying new things out, and the faster you can speed that process up, then the further ahead you're going to be with the same amount of time.
Yeah, and then you would be the guide for that and speeding it up that much more because you've had the trial and error. You can, they can bounce ideas off of you, you can plan it out for them. I mean, like, that honestly sounds like a dream for anybody that would want, because instead of somebody just sitting at home and having what we talked about earlier, that internal motivation to just do it, okay, they have the internal motivation to just do it, and then they also have you as a guide to help. Like, it's just the perfect storm for amazing opportunities for people. Okay, so I want you, Lawson, to finish up here. I want you to identify a little bit about when you think that you will feel successful. Like, when will you sit and think, like, God damn it, I'm so successful right now. Like, when will that be?
Here's what I've noticed through that in hockey is that I've set goals that I always, so I guess the first time I've like felt that moment of being successful is that through hockey, my goal is to play Division One. So I remember when before that, it was kind of scary. My whole hockey career was just like dependent on like, I have to get there. And it felt like it was going to happen. It was just like, I knew it, but it wasn't happening. So when that did happen, I like remember like get the phone call. It was like, I finally did it. Right. And I was like really happy about it. Felt like I just reached my life goal pretty much. And then when I got there, there's just a new goal that set in place, and after like a few weeks or a month, it you don't feel like you're finally successful even in hockey anymore. Mm-hmm. So I think, and maybe afraid that that's the same way with this as well, where I think I thought I was going to feel like I made it with a million followers on. I was like, that was my goal when I started. I was like, if we can get to a million, we're going to be set. Mm-hmm. And that's all we have to worry about. And then when we got there, again, you're here at this point and you still don't feel successful. So I don't think I have an answer, which is kind of like that scary thing that people never feel like they've made it, because they always need to reach another level.
I am going to tell you a story. There was this guy, his name's Matt Frazier, and I don't know if you know anything about CrossFit.
Yeah.
And when he first won the CrossFit Games, he got interviewed, and they said, how do you feel? You just won the games. And he was like, I feel great. I'm ready to win again next year. He had literally 60 seconds after he won, and he had trained for years and really hard for that whole year leading up to it. And he couldn't even like enjoy the success that he had just worked so hard for. He was just worried about winning again. And I think like that like interview that I watched him do, that interview alone brought me to realize that it's not about the end goal. It's not about crossing the finish line at the marathon that you've been training for. It's not about winning the CrossFit Games or hitting the million followers. It's literally about the skills and the journey leading up to what it is. Like, what did you learn and accomplish and do that whole time leading up to a million followers? You got your first brand deal. You guys created this amazing platform to share and serve with other people. You learned how to do all these new skills. Like, I'm in your podcast area and you guys like learned how to utilize a camera, come up with a creative concept, do all of these things leading up to what happened to be the million followers. And that's like Matt Frazier too. Like, it's the journey in between the goal. It's the things that you do before you hit that thing that actually is the teaching, that actually is the success, because it's all of those minuscule, minute things that lead up to like what it is that you really want. But I think that people get so caught up in the goal and the end result that they want, that when they hit that, they feel just like you said, you're just like, oh, what now? I don't know how to answer that question because I don't feel successful. But I think that we don't enjoy the things leading up to what it is that we want. And I think that we need, as creators and as entrepreneurs and as CEOs, we need to like really celebrate more of those successes, because it'll make that end goal so much better. And I think for you too, Lawson, it's like, I want to encourage, like, if you're a client of mine or other people that are listening to this, like, create small, minuscule goals and then celebrate them, whether that's sharing that with somebody else or taking people out to dinner or buying your girlfriend flowers because you fucking hit a goal that you wanted, and just like sharing in that success. Because entrepreneurship and owning a small business, when my parents still don't even know what the fuck I do, they're like, I don't know, Hillary's just whatever, like, yeah, I'm just hanging out and making fake Monopoly money over here. Like, it's really important to share in your journey with other people around you, and you have such a great net that make sure you guys do that. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's like advice that I would give to you and to anybody listening, is like, it doesn't have to be this astronomical goal. If you fucking get a brand deal for a year long with one person, you're like, guys, we're going to dinner, or we're doing this, or here's some extra money to go buy somebody flowers, or let's all order in pizza and then post about it. Because I think that we need to share in our journey and our success with others versus just like think about it. When you hit a million followers, what did you do? Yeah, you didn't do anything is what you did. You didn't anything.
I remember what I did. I made a video of it too. I got
okay, good.
The guys were on the road playing a hockey game, and then I went I got them like cases of beer and some champagne, and so when they got back, then we did celebrate.
See?
It was fun.
Okay, good.
That was
okay,
like
good.
That was a big day.
So you celebrated, but then you were like, okay, what's next?
Yeah, then actually it felt like, well, yeah, I was like, well, that's a long road to 2 million. Now we're gonna now what can I get excited for? I remember that after. It was kind of depressing.
It was probably really close after. It was like hours or mm-hmm. the next day. You're mm-hmm. like, okay, cool. Now what?
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
And I think that that's the drive that a lot of people have. But I think that we just need to celebrate more and enjoy the journey more than what we do as like this creative space.
Yeah, I agree with that. I like that too. I think I'm definitely going to start doing that more.
Yeah, and even if it's not for yourself, just like share it with mm-hmm. your fiance or whatever. Yeah. Buy something for the guys, and they'll be like, "Why'd you get this for us?"
Yeah.
Well, guys, because we just did this, and this. You know, whatever.
Said episode 10.
Yeah, totally. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Hit 5,000 downloads. Whatever it is, like celebrate the journey to the end. Otherwise, the end feels really far off.
Yeah.
And then when you do hit the end, you have that feeling of. What now?
Yeah.
Because you didn't celebrate it when you got there.